Of all the years I have been in ministry, I have been getting more interactions from parishioners about what a painful time we're in. It is a painful time, and it's a painful time. It tied in, interestingly enough, with the scripture. Jesus is gathered, and they come to him, and they tell him stories of this Tower of Siloam that has collapsed. 18 people killed. Oh, towers, you built towers in your town because you wanted, first off, security and safety, but also to proclaim that you had you were proud of yourselves, and you had this thing that you could look up to as an emblem of pride. And it collapsed and killed 18. We don't know how many were wounded. We don't know any, the details. But this is the earthly construct that has collapsed and that has killed these. Then he makes a reference that is a little bit obscure to us in today's. We don't quite understand because we're not familiar with. Back in the time, the Romans were just antagonistic to the Jewish peoples in general. They would take some of the more violent members of their army, their legionnaires, and they would dress them in the attire to disguise themselves, give them knives, and send them into the crowd of the Jews. And they could just stab people with impunity. It would be just going on. What do we have? Something going on up here? I saw Stephanie and Bo looking up. Are the lights flickering? We'll see if that fixes it. Let me know. By the way, the lights have not been flickering as much. Have you noticed over the last several weeks? I'm making a little progress. For me, it's a lot, but anyway. But the Romans, that was a cruel thing to do, not only to send legionaries in there, to sow terror, to kill people just spontaneously without reason. It sounds like some of the events in our world today, doesn't it? So some of those events of terror and injury. But not only did they do that, but there was a time when the Jews were gathered and they were making their offerings. You remember that if you committed a sin of something, you might have to bring an animal that would be slaughtered and then burnt on the altar as a burnt offering and atonement for your sin. Well, the legionaries, these slaughterers, they were killing people so that their blood was mixed with the blood of the offerings. And they asked Jesus about it, and it seems like a heresy. It seemed like a horrible thing. And they asked, well, what did these people do? What sins did they commit that they are being punished in this way? And he says, no. Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinner than all other Galileans? No. Do you remember what he said about that? No. It rains on the just and the unjust. It is our human nature to try and affix blame when something goes wrong. We've had some airplane incidents of late, several plane crashes, several things, and the news articles are always picking up on any hint of anything. Why did it happen? What happened? Who was responsible? What were the causes? And that's okay to try and be safe. Again, we've iterated before that you are much safer flying than you are walking the street or driving your car, by far. I believe that it's even safer than trains right now. I'm not sure on that statistic. But air travel seems to be a little more frightening to a lot of people, and we want to just confront that. But attributing blame seems to be in our human DNA. October 7th, 2023, that's the day that Hamas attacked and killed and captured a bunch of Jewish hostages. Do you remember that You remember seeing it on the news, hearing about it? And it has resulted in this conflict in the Middle East. Why did this happen? Were the people being punished? What happened? There might be some need to examine that and find out how the Israelis had been treating the Palestinians ahead of time. I'm not excusing any of their behavior, but it might be worthy of us to say, how should we respond? How should we have responded? You know, that might have brought grace instead of anger and the growth of Hamas. Why did the Tower of Siloam collapse? Richard is a civil engineer, retired, but he and I both have a background in that. And so we might say, Richard, it might have been bad soils. It might have been a bad soil analysis. Could have been bad building materials. Could have been bad design work. Could have been the contractor that was scrimping on this, that, or the other. Could have been a little bit of shaking of the earth. They didn't have reinforcement back then. We don't know. So, but we want to always find out why these things happen and who might be to blame. That's in our tradition, I guess. But there are things that happen in the world that we can't really tie down that way. Cancer, awful. COVID, there's a need to try and find out where COVID came from. Was it a lab in China? Was it deliberate? Well, you know, there's all kinds of people with all kinds of hysterical ideas. We don't know. But cancer is an even more obscure one. We know some things are carcinogenic. So there's some cause and effect there, but still, cancer was around long before some of those carcinogens. But floods and forest fires and earthquakes, some of those are, we can attribute blame and we can back up and figure out why we have not been good stewards of our forests, and so forest fires are more pronounced than they were a generation ago. We can tie all of that back. Earthquakes, not so much. They happen or they don't happen. But this is not the Garden of Eden, and we need to understand that. Do you think that these others suffered, that they were worse sinners than others, Jesus asks? Bad things happen. It's part of the natural world. Nature can be capricious, and it's a horrible thing. Sometimes it's awful, sometimes it's beautiful. Nature can be amazing. But in the midst of all of those, we know that as Christians, we turn to comfort one another. So here is this passage that we read in the scripture, and it seems to be talking about all of that and the theology of blaming the victims and all the things going on there. And immediately following Jesus' response, he tells them a story about a fig tree. And this fig tree is not bearing fruit. Cut it down. And the landowner, gardener, whatever, says, no, let me dig up and spread some manure around it and see if we can't get it going. It would seem like with all the manure being spread today, we would be having a very, very rich world, wouldn't we? It's a little bit of a joke there. But this business about the fig tree is an indictment to us. It's talking to us. It is not about trees at all. Jesus is talking to us. Is the tree bearing fruit? And if there is not, we'll give it a chance. We're going to warn the tree. We're going to fertilize the tree. And we have been fertilized richly. Words and parables and guidance. The witness of the saints before us. We have been fertilized. Will we bear fruit? I have a slide, Paya. It's a joke. You're supposed to at least giggle a little. Years ago, I drove up, family, we took a trip in our camper and drove up the Pacific Coast Highway, and just driving along, taking our time, enjoying it. The crowds were not so large back then, and we came across a bunch of bushes and covered with raspberries. The branches were just hanging down to the ground with raspberries. We stopped and got out, and we were picking raspberries, and I'm picking along thinking, this is great, and we're filling up a couple of baskets, and then it dawned on me, and all of a sudden I started looking around for bears. Bears like raspberries, too. Okay, Paya, you can go. That's not the kind of bearing fruit we're talking about. Bearing fruit, the fig trees, and it's not about bearing children. Some would say bearing fruit means having as many kids as you can have. I don't think that's what the Lord was trying to teach us at all. But fruits of our Christian heritage. I have asked this before, but over the course of your lives, have you known some curmudgeons? That's my family term for those ones that are cranky or ill-tempered, and not me, never me. Scrooges, hard to love people. Have you known some of those? Untrusting ones, suspicious ones. It seems like we're seeing more and more of that all the time lately. I don't know about you, but I have loving friends and they're being more suspicious and untrusting than ever before. It's a hard time. And they're judgmental and easily offended. It doesn't seem like, you feel like you're walking around on eggshells. How do we love them? Now, I don't want to confuse this with saying you need to stay in an abusive relationship. If that's the case and you're being injured, there are things that need to be done about that. That's not all right. And I believe that we are about confronting evil and injustice wherever we find them. In point of fact, our membership asked us that question. Will you confront evil and injustice wherever you find them? And we said, yes, Lord, we will. It is a lot easier to just avoid it all, isn't it? Something's going on, say, you know, I don't think I want to get involved with this at all. And sometimes that's the right decision. Wisdom comes with being able to know when to leave things alone or what have you. But sometimes we are called to bear fruit. We're called to hang in there with that person. I knew a fella, and boy, he was suspicious of everybody. He had been ill-treated. He had ADHD as a kid, grew up, so he was kind of got the raw end of the stick there. And that was in a generation before we knew what that was. Do you remember growing up in elementary school when you were kiddos? Now, you young ones back there, you don't listen for a minute. But back in the day, we didn't recognize ADHD. We didn't recognize dyslexia. We didn't recognize learning disabilities. They got taunted and teased, and it was a tough time. It was hard. But this fella I knew, he'd had a tough upbringing, and so he approached the world with one fist raised and ready to do battle, upset at the least thing, and everybody was against him. And boy, I don't know why, but I just kind of would listen and not react and kind of try and help him see why, no, it wasn't legal to do what he was thinking he should be able to do, and the police shouldn't have anything to do with, and what have you. It took years before he trusted me enough to kind of let me speak to him. And I think he has mellowed over time. God grant that it be so that there was a little bit of a fig that grew there, that I bore just a little bit of fruit. Could it be true? So as we are about being in the midst of difficult times, And we're in a time when we might disagree vehemently with other opinions and other people over various things. Let us not be those who point fingers. Let us not be those who are judgmental. Let us not be those who are purveyors of falsehoods or who express horror when others express opinions different than our own. I remember a very graphic example. I was in college in a class. I have a humanities degree, and so we were required to study this obscure author named William Shakespeare. And this teacher was a Shakespearean scholar. He was so gifted, it was beyond imagination. But we were in the class, and it was all of us humanities students with a background in this and what have you. And there was one kid in there, I might have told you about him, he was a football player. I don't know how he decided to take a class on Shakespeare. But we were analyzing one passage or component of one of Shakespeare's plays, I don't remember which one. And he asked if there were opinions, and this kid raised his hand, and he came out with the most obscure, bizarre, ununderstandable rationale for why Shakespeare had written this. And we were all kind of chuckling into our hands and shaking our heads, and the professor was just awesome. He says, I've never heard that explanation. He says, that's interesting. That's very insightful. He says, I appreciate your sharing that. Boy, it taught me a lesson. Everybody has something to share. And there's nothing that says I'm more right than you are right. So as we're about being out there trying to bear fruit, it's not going to be trying to convince people of our way of thinking and that there is wrong. We need to measure our obedience to Christ with the metric of bearing fruit. Have we brought this person closer to Christ's love and forgiveness? Bear fruit. Amen.